Terri-Ann and everyone.
Well, hello, Eloise. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So we have another question for today?
We do. I'm curious as to why people, I use the word should, but I don't like the word should, why people should go for a tarot reading, which might not be why they want to.
So I agree with you. Yeah, there's no should. For a tarot reading or anything. It's when you need support in life, it might be a good way to find that support. Of course, you know, it's going to depend on what kind of tarot reader you pick. You know, some of them may have different methods or goals. I've seen a lot of people online that I do like. I like the way they do things and they see things, and they're able to really go into how the cards relate to each other, how they would relate to the individual. And as you said, should, you know, when a tarot reader says you should do this or you should do that, to me, I would run really quickly. That's when, like, as if they know, which goes against exactly what the tarot is doing, right? The tarot is not telling us what we should do. The tarot is showing us what is going on with us in a particular moment or for an extended period of time. Because if something in a particular moment and have a particular mindset, then it's going to show through my tarot cards how long that will last. And of course, that's changeable. You can change that. And to me, that would be ultimately what I would want to do is say, okay, I have a particular way of seeing life. I have a particular rigid way of looking at things. And the tarot is kind of guiding me to where my rigidities are. And if you have a good reader, they will notice in your comments or, you know, the way you speak about things, they're not picking up on what the reader is saying, and the reader picks up on, oh, look at that, they keep going back.
Usually those people might stay in there.
Usually, I'm not saying always. Sometimes you could be the, there's Milarepa was a student of, I forget which teacher, but, you know, he came into a bunch of monks, right? And all these monks, studying and, you know, trying to become a teacher, ends up choosing Milarepa. Criminal, and he had done all these bad things, and he was considered so uncool. He's the one who became enlightened. So it's just so fascinating to see those things. So you could be the most, you know, dense, worst kind of individual, and you're the one who's going to become enlightened, or you remain that way. And I often see in the tarot, you know, which kind of person, you know, it's not so much in what you do or your actions, it's in your understanding of your, let's say, responsibility in life. So why would I go to a reading? Somebody to poke me a little bit. You know, sometimes it affirms where I am.
Yes. Like,
you know, if I feel insecure and I get a reading, it affirms where I'm at, which I really like. You know, when the cards are aligned to what I'm doing. But of course, if I'm in a particular situation or choices I need to make, and the cards are like, you are so off, that is so helpful to me as well.
Yeah.
Like, wow, I'm really off. I'm off target. Wow, I'm doing something totally in opposition to what any of these cards are representing. And as the reader talks, I begin to sort of unravel, you know, some of the, you know, aspects or views or insights that come up, and it helps me unravel. Oh, look at how I was seeing that. Here's a whole new way of seeing it. And that actually gives light to the subject, because you don't want to keep hitting your head on a brick wall. So if I were, you know, in my 20s, I might say, oh, all men are the same. And I go to read her and say, and she says, or he says to me, what's the common denominator? If men are the same to you, then what's the common denominator to all these men? Oh, it's me. Yeah. And that would shine a light on, you know, what's going on, because how are all people are more alike than different, right? We're more similar, even men and women, than we are different. So all men are the same is really close to same, and we're not. We're all different.
Yeah,
we have many similarities. We have the same pains. We suffer. We do many things that are the same that hurt ourselves. And we think that what we're doing is proper, like saying all men are the same, all men are bad, all men are this, and we think that that's doing us good. Well, it's not. Mm. You know, especially if you want a relationship.
It's not.
It's really a say. And we don't realize it's terrible because we feel hurt, you know, by the men in our lives, and we think it's justified, but it's not. And I think that that's one beautiful reason for the tarot too. And that's why we call this dose of truth, because that dose of truth is like a drop in a pond, and that ripple effect is supportive. No matter how much you dislike what the cards say, you know, you might dislike it, you might not like it, but it's a good drop in the pond that helps you start looking at, wait a minute, this is about me. It's not about the other. So I'm always cautious about, you know, clients, you know, querents who come and they want me to ways to control outcomes. You know, that's usually a very, very dangerous arena to go into, because you can't do it. Can't do it. And I think part of the putting the responsibility into the querent's own hands.
Yes, so important.
Yeah, and that can be a surprise to many people.
Mm.
Not blame or guilt, not say, oh, it's your fault. If there's something you're not seeing that the cards can help you see.
Yeah.
Another thing, you know, I do sometimes, it depends on the reading. You know, you could have a six-month reading, you'd have a year reading. It depends what comes out. I don't know how long it'll be. Usually it's about a year, but sometimes it'll even go to 10 years. You can see things.
Hmm.
Whatever that moment is with that particular individual. I don't
know. Yeah.
And you know, if you have usually it's quite long. It can go a year or more. Keeping the recording of the reading, not your notes, and not memorizing. Because notes and memorizing, I've found people have missed. You know, they come back and say, you said this, and I'm like, are you sure? That doesn't sound like me. And they'll go back and listen, and they go, you actually said the exact opposite. You know, so I think keeping that recording is really important, because what you think is happening today will not be the same in 6 months. You have a very different perspective, and you can distort what the reader says dependent on what you're thinking right now. Right? We don't hear things. So I've noticed that people will listen to the reading like 6 months later, so they know what's going on. They're like reviewing, oh, okay, what's happening now? What did she say? And they listen to it and go, wow, now I get it, because it's happening now, but I didn't get it the day she told me.
Yeah.
I almost didn't even hear it the day she told me.
Yeah.
And what does that do? Well, in some instances, having, you know, the energy of that particular time supports the person in knowing this is temporary. I had a gal. I told her, I don't know why this is coming up, but in a year, there'll be a 2-week period. And I remember it was the end of March, where you'll be depressed, but it's going to come and go. And I looked at her and I said, it's so bizarre that we're reading a 2-week period in a, like a year and a half or 2 years. It was just bizarre. Anyhow, I kind of stopped when I was doing the reading, going, what the heck is this? Why am I even talking about this 2 weeks? Who cares? 2 weeks, I'm a bit down. But I had to say it. It just came out.
Yeah.
So she called me in a year and said, I'm so glad you talked about it because I'm going through it right now and I just listened to the reading and knowing it's only 2 weeks is making me so happy. And I was like, oh, that's so fascinating, right? Like, so fascinating that, yeah, because I think she was struggling a little bit with depression. So she might have thought that she was going to go back down when it was only a 2-week period. So that gave her enough to shift into, oh, it's a low. I'm just having a low. That's it.
Just a blip.
Yeah. So that's really useful. But for generically for anyone, you would go for a reading at this moment where you need to actually have some clarity on yourself, not your life, not your relationship, not your job. But even though we ask these things and they come up, it's really clarity on myself. And that will give me a boost. Or it could be not so nice to hear what we hear. It might not be so nice. But what that does is gives me maybe, even if it's not so nice, it empowers me to know I can actually take a practical action.
Yeah.
Actually start to look at this. And that gives me, in a way, some power for myself.
Yeah.
And it shifts my life. I don't know.
That's a good transformation.
Word. Yeah. Power is a good word, but we all have our own strength. And usually we're using our strength to hurt ourselves rather than, use it to empower ourselves. That's a better word. I can empower myself with a reading, even if it comes up not so nice.
Yeah.
You know? Gosh, yeah. I'm getting scenes in my head of so many people who, felt really angry that I was telling them whatever they wanted wasn't going to work out. But when it came to pass, they understood the why in their world, like, what was going on. But they didn't quite understand what it was within them that was bringing this. So they needed to understand a little bit more about what their roadblocks were.
Yeah.
So they often come back to get, if they get angry with me or with the reading, they'll come back and say, I want to know why you knew that. And I go, well, here's what you're doing. I'm thinking of a particular woman who was really, she was getting married. And my sense when I was looking at the tarot was she doesn't really love this person. It's more, I want married, I want the ring, I want all these things. And it was really hard to say that out loud, that you're heartless. You're meaning heartless towards him, but heartless.
You're not seeing.
Wow. Yeah.
You're not seeing that your own hurt in life is not allowing you to have a nice relationship. So you're seeking it through superficial aspects. Like, if I get married, then I'll be happy. Or if I get a nice big rock, then I know he loves me. And now that I'm loved, then I'm going to be happy and I'm going to feel good. It's never going to happen, right? Because if I don't love myself, if I'm negligent of myself, well, how am I ever going to feel anyone is going to love me? It's going to be a huge void.
Yeah.
Because we act arrogant, and it's very bizarre, but I've seen this a few times where someone's doing all of this and they're so arrogant about the love of the other person, and you know, really not seeing that they're
for themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's all about,
yeah, it's almost ticking a box. Yeah.
Like, I say, you know, I'm kind of thinking if I were
getting married and my reader said, you know what, it's not going to work out, I would sit back and go, oh, okay, it's not going to work out. So what would I be doing now in my present that is staying in a relationship? What could be missing? And I think I would be, in some way, even if it's very unconscious, suspect that if I go to a reader and ask how, you know, what's my relationship like, or am I going to stay married? Doesn't that kind of indicate I have some doubts?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I never ask about my relationship in a reading. I just don't ask about it. But if I started to, then I would wonder right away, oh, I'm starting to ask about relationship. Do I have doubts? Right? That would be the first thing that would come up for myself.
Mm.
You know, will my relationship work out? That means nothing, really. Because if I said, will my relationship work out? What am I talking about, first of all? My relationship is working out.
Yeah.
It has good days and bad days. I don't even know if the relationship has good days and bad days. I have good days and bad days, and I probably piss him off. That's probably what happens. If I'm too annoying and he wants to go, well, I think he should.
Yeah.
I think that would be good for him. If he thinks that, oh my God, she's just a nutcase and she's annoying. And
yeah, he should go.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't sit around and say, how do I have to change to keep him? I would say, how would I have to change? What do I need to change in myself so I'm not so crazy? What do I need to change in myself? What is it that my karma is telling me that I need to start looking at so I can shift whatever I... Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So that's clearly why I go for a tarot reading. But you would have to be disturbed by it, right? Like, let's say somebody's a crotchety, you know, old codger, right? All right, so you got this crotchety old codger, and he's very happy being happy. He would have to say, all right, go, because I'm not going to change my crotchetiness, and that's fine if you go, if you don't like it the way I am.
Yeah. Right.
That's fine. But if the crotchety old codger, you know, his wife says, look, if you don't change, I'm going to leave you. And he's unhappy about that. Then he has to change himself to, you know, he would have to look at it and go, well, I don't like my crotchetiness. Not he doesn't like it, that I don't like it. Because if he likes it and he's okay with himself, then why would he be with someone who's not okay with him? That would be strange. So it's in the end, you know, accepting yourself, loving yourself. So it doesn't matter if the person stays or goes.
Yeah.
Right. So like if my partner got up and walked up the stairs right now, walked in the room and said, I'm done with you. I might ask why. But I really, you know, what I'm going to change about myself is going to be for me.
Yeah.
And it's a huge job, actually, to transform oneself. And we're doing that by, you know, taking care of all the wounds that we have. And the tarot shows us how many wounds we have. And those are the things we need to care for and bring those old wounds to the surface so they can disinfect It's not an easy job. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to change my behavior so someone else likes me. That doesn't work. And you wouldn't be able to keep it up either.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be able to. I can imagine somebody saying to you, Eloise, I don't like that you act like this, and you try to stop it. You'd have to be constantly on guard.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah. I've been there. It's impossible.
It's impossible. You know, I don't like the way you move your hand. Oh, my God. What are you going to do about that?
I don't like it when you laugh. Stop it.
I can't laugh ever. Can't laugh ever. Yeah, you'd have to stop laughing forever in front of that person.
It's insane.
Right? But if you look and go, my laughter is covering up my pain. Oh, well, yeah. That's a different story. Let me look at my pain, but it's not like a 2-minute process. Right? Like I've been like you. I don't do it as much anymore, but I've laughed at everything I would say. And you know, if I talk about myself, I would laugh. And that's really ceased. But, you know, a lot of the work I do, you see people giggling about them. It's painful to watch. But, you know, if they continue doing it, that's fine. But if they're asking for help, I'll say, okay, don't laugh now. You're really getting to a sensitive point. And you need to look at that point in yourself. Yeah. And that's when you work on it. But if I'm with somebody who's laughing about themselves all the time, I might find it too painful to be around them all the time, which I've seen, you know, I've seen it often. And it's painful to be around them because you're empathetic with their pain. But at the same time, if I'm not doing a reading for them, I'm not going to tell them what to do. I'm just going to notice and empathetic that they hurt themselves by laughing at their pain. Okay. But if they don't ask me anything or we're not in a moment where they'd like to have some help for it. You know?
Yeah.
You yourself all you want. That's fine. Right? But if I was married to someone who laughed at their pain, I couldn't stay in the marriage.
Yeah. That
would I could be never I could never stay in the marriage.
Yeah.
I just can't do it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I do group work and there's some people who laugh at everything they say. And that is so dismissive. It's always a laugh. One can't see one's pain if they're laughing at it.
Yeah.
You know, it's so bad. You just kind of, it's an apathy to what I'm experiencing. It's really interesting. Yeah, laughter is an interesting one.
Yeah, it definitely is.
It's fascinating how much we use it to cover up our pain. It's very, very
classic comedian.
A classic comedian, Robin Williams, commits suicide. Funny guy. Commits suicide. Like, wow. You know, there's also that the comedy illustrates the pain. But laughing at it is disturbing.
Yeah. Sometimes you can laugh at things that actually brings things into the conversation, that like comedians can talk about things that could be really difficult. But it's a very strange thing to do.
It is. I agree with you. It's a really strange thing to do. It's a hard thing to do. And, you know, now there's a lot of censorship for comedians. I don't know if it's still on or was last year, the year before. I don't know if they're still doing it. And, you know, you lose that really close touching to someone's pain. You know, when you think of the fool in the tarot, the court jester is considered the fool, and that fool can make fun of the king and queen in the king and queen's court, and they're the only ones who are allowed to do it. but it's really a risky place to be. What if they hit something that the king and queen go, okay, you're done for.
Yeah.
We're going to hate.
Cross that line.
You've crossed that line. And that's what our comedians do. They cross. Yeah. Very fine line between the comic being a fool and the comedy being so wise to cut through the dross and say, this is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's powerful when you can laugh at yourself. And it's really awful if we can't.
Yeah.
Right? I often bring up my Big Fat Greek Wedding because I thought it was funny. There's some hokey words funny. And, you know, I could critique it on a, you know, a film level, like you should have picked Greek characters that actually had a Greek accent because you had two people who had a real Greek accent. S didn't. Okay, so that's a criticism from that point of view. But nobody else, you know, most people don't know that that's a bad Greek accent. Just like I don't know when there's a bad Russian accent. Right? I don't know when there's a bad French accent, necessarily. So we know when there's a bad English accent. There's some people who imitate the Brits. And I think it's really good. But then when I go to the UK and watch the same movie, you know, you might say, or, you know, another friend of ours might say, British accent, oh my God, sounds okay to me. So fine, that's fine. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. But some people thought that the humor and the exaggeration of us as Greeks was, they were mollified. And I was like, what are you talking about? That's how we act. Okay, it's exaggerated, but it's clearly how we act.
Yeah.
It's clearly, you know, in many ways what we do, but it's exaggerated. It's a film. Oh, they were so pissed off. And I'm like, geez, you can't laugh at yourself? Like,
yeah.
Funny. Everybody's funny.
Yeah.
Everybody is funny in their own way, right?
Yeah.
Even a local.
I love that film.
You know, I was living in different areas in my own city. I can live in different areas in my own city and I laugh because everybody acts differently just in a different area in the city. And it's funny. But now it's like, oh, you can't do that. And like, you know what? You got to be able to look at yourself and think, not that necessarily funny, but it's humorous, our differences.
Yeah. You know?
Bad thing, it's a funny thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just laugh and go, oh yeah, that's true. If I we grew up in this area, I would talk like that, and I grew up in that area and I talk like this.
Yeah.
You know, or you know,
we have so many of those here. Yeah.
Well, we had a lot of Brits who moved to Canada, and moving here, they were made fun of for their accent, the little kids, right?
Yeah.
Oh, talk funny. Oh, yeah. And then they would get rid of their accent. But at some point, you grow up and go, well, yeah, it is straight. It is. A little kid's going to go, you talk. It's not a criticism. It's just I'm perceiving that you talk funny.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, when generation Greeks, and they'd go, me, I don't know me. Which is a direct translation from the Greek. So it was funny to hear it. But the other side is they have an advantage. They spoke three languages because we're a bilingual province. They had to speak French and English. And they spoke Greek at home. Hey, they had funny ways of putting things. But then you look at all of Quebec. We've got French and different cultures. What is it? I forgot. Close the lights and open the lights, which is a direct translation from English and Greek, from French and Greek. But in English, you don't say close the lights. I even have a friend who
turn them on and off. Yeah.
Turn them on and off. But I even have a friend who says open the volume. It's too low.
Amazing.
But it's translation from Greek.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You know, just that was the language they learned. So it is funny in English. Open the volume. It sounds ridiculous. Close the volume. Bizarre, right?
Yeah.
But lights and close the lights still does not sound bizarre to me. I so find myself they turn on and turn off the lights, but my first is to say open and close the lights.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of these quirks.
Idiomatic expressions like what is it? Hit the head of the nail? Is that the right expression?
I hit the nail on the head.
There you go. You see, I did that. So my father always said, hit the head of the nail. And I have to think really hard to go, what is the correct idiom? How do you say it correctly? I can't even say it correctly now.
No, yeah, my brain's going to think, you've hit the nail on the head.
You've hit the nail on the head. So he would go, you've hit the head of the nail.
But if you think about these things too much, you can't remember.
You can't remember because they're automatic.
Yeah.
There you go. Our comedy routine for today.
Yeah. How we got onto this from how to get why you, the benefits of getting a reading. It's a fun conversation. Cool. Anyway, thanks, Terri-Ann.
Thank you, love. Bye.
Yeah, have a great week, everyone. Bye.